Good morning, everyone. It's a bit unusual sitting up here with this, but a couple of weeks ago, just before the new year, I had a little fall and fractured my foot. So you'll have to listen to me sitting down today, but I'm sure that'll be fine because I've got a message that God sort of laid on my heart when I was laying on my bed with a broken foot that I want to share with you today. So can we just pray for a minute and just invite the Holy Spirit to minister to each one of you and just see what he wants to do. Yeah. God, you are so good, and we just thank you for your presence. God, we thank you that you've journeyed with us through every new year, through every season of life that we've lived, and whether we've known you or not, and whether we still don't know you or not. God, I thank you for your faithfulness. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come and minister and breathe your life on this word today. And I pray that you would open hearts and speak so powerfully into hearts. But I pray most of all, God, that people would receive your love today, that they would receive your hope. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to skip the communion and we're going to do that at the end. That's all right. So if you can just put the first slide up, or do I do that? Okay, perfect. All right, so I really felt like when I was praying about this year, I just had this, the first image I have was just of just a nothingness. Like I had a picture of just this vast empty space. And God really laid in my heart that this year was going to be a year of speaking creatively and of actually creating into a formless space of whatever it is that we're living in right now, that God actually is inviting us to create with him. So I want to call this like the year of creativity with him. And if we look at the scriptures, I point that way, don't I? No? Patrick, sorry. Yeah, okay. I point to Patrick. Okay, good. Thank you. Thanks. So when in Genesis 1, this is the very first passage in Scripture, and this is what I really felt when I was thinking, God, what is that empty, formless space? What is that talking about? I just, I remembered this Scripture, and it says in Genesis 1, verse 1 to 4, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And I really believe that there's people in this room that there's changes in your life. I know for me personally, I'm going through some changes at the moment. Well, for one, I can't really walk properly and I can't drive, and there's lots of things with that, but that's just a temporary change. But this year I'm actually moving up to Brisbane for the year, and I'll be heading off in a few weeks' time. So that's a big change. I'm going to be going up and doing some more ministry training, because I really felt like, you know, that God's laid that in my heart to do, and it's just something that's opened up an opportunity and I'm taking it. So that's a huge change for me. I've been here for 11 years, and I guess I don't know where the future's going to take me with that, but it's something that I'm stepping into. It's a new space. It's, as you would like, it's a blank canvas. And I really believe that every single person here, whether you've got maybe a new job, a new relationship, maybe it's a new church that you're coming into now, maybe it's a new ministry, it could be many things. For me, this is new, having something on my foot. But with everything that's new, God actually creates like a reset, like a blank canvas, where he says to you, what are you going to do with this opportunity? Like for me, what can I do with this leg? I can't do a lot. I can boss people around and tell them, can you do this for me? So that's a good opportunity to put my leadership skills into practice. But what is it that you're going to do with the opportunity? Thank you, Amber. that he's given you. Like, what are you going to do with what you've been given? Maybe it's that you're having a holiday right now and you're going into the same job that you've had. It's still a reset. Like, my bone is being reset right now in this. But it's an opportunity for me to rest, and it's opportunity for me to receive from God and actually step out and create with him in a new space. So I really believe that this year, like, yes, not everything like dramatically changes from one year to the next, but I really believe that there's people in this church, in this room right now, and whoever's listening, that there's a change that God has moved you into, and he's saying, okay, here's your blank canvas. What are you going to create? What is it that you're going to do in me, in my strength, with what you've been given? Maybe it doesn't look as exciting as me moving to Brisbane. I know that not everything dramatic like that happens in our lives. It's from year to year. But Holy Spirit, even right now, I just really believe he's going to start to show you what it is in your life that he wants to create with you, the creativity that he wants to move in your life. I want to encourage you that while we're talking about creativity and this invitation with God to create something new with what you've been given in your life, that at the very beginning, you are actually his workmanship. Like right now, you're his canvas that he wants to create with. Isn't it amazing to think that God chose you, that he called you, and he said that you would be his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works before, like he's planned that for a long time. So I want to encourage you as well today that you right now are his artwork, his, and I love the scripture that you read, the other version of this, that we've become his poetry. I guess we could say poetry, we could say like his painting. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he's given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. So what is our responsibility if God is saying, okay, you're the canvas, I'm the painter, I'm the person that's creating you? What is it that he wants us to do? Like, do we just sit there and let it happen? Well, I just really, this word right now is on my heart, and that's the word yield. What does that word yield mean? It means giving up. It means letting go. It means surrendering. And how do we do that in our lives? How do we give over our control to the Lord? It's by trust. It's purely trust. And when you know that God is good, and when you know his word and what it says about who he is and who you are, and you start to realize his goodness, you start to let go of your rights because you trust him, because he's good. And I want to say to people here today that you are his workmanship, created for far better than you can even imagine. John is spot on before when he said that God has an incredible vision for your life and he wants to show you a glimpse of that. Will you believe that he wants to do that in your life? Will you stop comparing yourself to other people? Will you stop thinking my life hasn't gone the way that it should and I've gone through this and that and I've gone through these trials and I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too whatever insecurity. Will you let that go? And then just let the Lord do what he wants to do in your life. You're not just a person that lives your everyday life hoping every now and then you might see God do something amazing. Like, he actually wants to form you into an incredible piece of artwork where you are a wonder. I went to the Grand Canyon a few years ago and that took my breath away. And the Lord said to me, will you let me do that in your life? The Grand Canyon was formed over years and years of just letting the wind and the waters shape it. And, you know, it's the same with our lives. Are you willing to say, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do in my life? sculpt me, make me into a wonder that people can come and look at and go, whoa, did God make that? That must be God. For me to sit here right now, like I was a child who was very shy and wouldn't speak up a lot, yet I had a dream in my heart to be able to communicate God's word with people because I loved God's word as a kid. And so I dared to believe, like I remember sitting in a meeting one day and it was years and years ago, like over a decade ago now, and I wrote down that I wanted to preach God's word, and I dared to believe it, even though I wasn't seeing that maybe I had the skills or maybe I wasn't brave enough or whatever insecurity that was facing me right there, but I yielded it to Jesus and I dared to believe it. And will you dare to believe? Will you dare to believe that he can create something amazing in your life? Can we just pray for a second with that? Holy Spirit. God, I pray I just release a revelation of your goodness in people's hearts right now, that they know that they can trust you. Oh, we just, God, we yield our lives and hearts to you again, even just in that moment. We just choose to respond to that right now, Jesus. Yeah. And the privilege of being made in God's image is that actually not only do we get to see God do incredible things in our lives, but we actually get to take on his personality type, which is to be creative. Now, the creative people aren't the ones that are painting pictures and just doing music up the front or, you know, whatever we think creativity might be. But we see God's creativity from the very start of his word where he said, let there be light, and God created. So if we are made in his image, every single person here, you are creative. And why are you creative? Because God called you to fill the earth and subdue it. He said that to Adam at the very start. So he's actually called you to take dominion and to advance the kingdom of God in the way that you've been created. Now, maybe your job is not one that you would think is a label of creativity. For example, I'm a teacher, I'm a primary teacher. And when I started to get a handle on the fact that I could be creative in my job, that I got to infuse my classroom with something new and fresh every day, I started to see God move in my classroom. And maybe it didn't look dramatic to other people, but I knew that there was life in my room. Because I dared to believe that God wanted to infuse my life and my life to actually create with him. Yeah. So I want to encourage you today that you are his workmanship, but you are actually called to create. When I was just recently, I went on holidays. I went to the Wilson's prom with a few of my cousins, and we were driving to the beach one day, and along the road there were these huge wind turbines, and they were massive, like hands up if you've seen a wind turbine before. Yeah, I think they're beautiful. I don't know. I don't usually love man-made things necessarily, but I just think they're so huge and they're moving. And I was just really drawn to that as a picture, and I felt God just say to me that it's the same with us. Like he sculpts us into this wind turbine, so to speak. And then as we live our lives being who we are, living in our strengths, being who we are naturally, not trying to be someone else, not putting something on that's not going to fit us. As we do what God has called us to do, as the winds go through it, it actually pushes through and it starts to create energy and it actually creates power. And so it's the same with your life. That as you live your life and let the winds of the Spirit and you yield to the Spirit of God, as you start to see movement, what is created from that? What are wind turbines made for? They're made for electricity. And it's the same. The Holy Spirit wants your life to see power come through it. That's why you're on the earth. When you gave your heart to Jesus, if you've done that already, maybe you haven't, and I'm going to give you a chance to later. But when you gave your heart to Jesus, he was excited because he put his spirit in you so that you could start to live like Jesus in this earth and see the kingdom of darkness, the powers of darkness defeated, and see his kingdom come in this earth. Do you believe that? Like, that's why you're alive. And when we get over comparison of who I am and who I'm not, and I'm not this person, I'm this person, when we start to believe that we're made in his image and we give our hearts over to the Lord, we start to see his spirit move through us, and we can't help but see power come out of our lives. I know that's been my testimony, that when I've started to believe that I'm made in his image and that he's good and he loves me, and that I give myself, I have to yield to Jesus. Yes, there's been seasons of life where it's like, oh God, do I trust you? And it's actually a battle of will sometimes to surrender to Jesus. But I tell you that your life will not be what it is called to be unless you do that every single day. It doesn't matter where you are. You might be in the most boring, uncomfortable, frustrating position of your life. But if you have that position in your heart that says, God, I'm going to yield to you. God, I'm going to give over to you. You're going to see power start to move through you. I love this verse. This is probably my life verse at the moment. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far and beyond all that you can ask or think or imagine, according to the power that's at work in you. There's something in those wind turbines that are actually created to create electricity. So right now, in this year, there are people sitting in all these seats right now that are like little power vessels. It's exciting. What are we going to see in this year? What are you going to see in your family, individually, in this church? You know, I was really encouraged. I was looking at these wind turbines. There's not just one sitting in a paddock. There's multiple sitting together. How powerful is it when we don't just let the Holy Spirit move in our personal life, but when we actually give ourselves to family, community, to a church, to the bride of Christ? What do we see when that happens corporately? You know, I've given myself for the past like decade to an incredible music team. And we've had a chance to use our giftings for the Lord and see his spirit move through that. And it's incredible. How much more powerful is it when we see something happen in a group? What are we going to see in this church this year? Like, what are we going to believe for? And what are we going to see? And it's not just a few really excited Christians up the front that come up the front and lift their hands every week. It's not just the exuberant ones or the super spiritual ones. It's you sitting right here. You're needed. You're actually included in the family, and we need you. Like a body needs a foot. I can't wait to get this thing off my foot. I can't wait to have a foot again. Maybe you think I'm just a foot, you know, in the body of Christ. I'm just a toenail. What does that matter? Well, it matters. You matter. You're worth so much, and you're important. But, you know, it actually starts with daring to believe. Is that doing it? Yeah. Right believing leads to right living. We're really good at trying to do things in our own strength, but that only kind of lasts as long as we're zealous and enthusiastic, you know. But your belief systems, what you believe about God, about yourself, about other people, about your future, whatever it is, there's lots of belief systems. But I want to encourage you, are you a person that actually reads the word and believes it? Let's get real. Like, when you're reading the Bible, if you have something in your heart that's like, oh, I actually don't believe that, tell God, Father, I actually don't believe that. Can you help me? Can you change my belief? Because I promise you that whatever you believe will be what you make, what you create. And we've got to be people that are real. Like, we're not playing games. Like, this life is so short. We don't even know when our lives will end. Hopefully not today. But what I'm saying is we're not here to play games with God. We're not here to pretend that we believe, but we actually don't. Like, I want to encourage you. Let this be a year where you go to the Lord and you get serious with Him and you say, God, I actually don't really believe this. And you don't leave that room until you've actually, don't move from that place until you actually start to see God change your belief systems. And how do you do that? It's by reading the Word of God. It's by getting it into your spirit, but it's actually getting real with the Holy Spirit and speaking to Him about it. Dare to believe, because you're going to see your belief systems actually create what you're believing. I'm going to talk a bit about practical creativity, but one of the things that I really strongly believe in, I've had personal testimonies of this after I believed it, but I really believe in the power of our words, the power of our declaration. There's actually a lot of this in the world. The world sort of gets it, and maybe we don't as much. The difference with the world in their declarations is that it's not rooted in the Word of God, and it's not it's sort of based on us. And I think self-belief is really important too. I'm not saying that. But do you know that God spoke and it was? I think that's not in the Bible for an accident. And I actually really believe that every single one of us in our creativity, it starts with our belief systems, but it actually also is produced with what we say. And I guarantee that you know what people are believing by what they're saying from their mouth. You hear it. You know what they're believing. And so I want to encourage you that as you let the Holy Spirit change your belief systems, the things that you're believing for, start to proclaim them. Start to speak them out. Prophesy life into dead bones. God is a God that likes to make nothing, something from nothing. That's just what He does. He's just like that. And we don't know anyone like that in the earth but God. Like, God is like that alone. And that's where we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Abraham, he was known as a man that believed God. It says that through the scriptures. And it says in Romans 4 that he spoke things as that didn't exist as though they did. And he was a man of faith. So I want to encourage you that as you spend time in the secret place with God, because that's where life flows, fruitfulness flows from intimacy, that as you do that, let your speech take on a different direction. Start to look at what you say and start to speak the Word of God. You know, I really believe that as you read the Word of God, it's there to read, but it's there to declare. It's actually a declaration. Let your prayers be declarations. Instead of saying, God, please do this, please do that. Yes, it's okay to do that, but start to thank Him in advance. As you praise on a Sunday or whatever day you're praising, hopefully every day, every moment, but as you start to praise, praise Him ahead of time of what you're going to see. And that's a person of faith that does that. Confessions are easy to make when you believe what you say. So we're called to know the truth and to believe it. I had an amazing woman just sitting over there, Felicity, in the red shirt. That's an amazing woman of God. And she said to me that I had my violin stolen from me a few years ago and it was missing for 4 months. And, I mean, it looked like I would never get it back. I had people say to me, you know, this is a family heirloom of mine and it was really important to me. I had people say, oh, I don't like your chances, you know. It's pretty unlikely you're going to get it back. It's like, Thanks for the good news. But so much of our lives, we can focus on the doubt. And why would that happen? Well, it hasn't happened yet. I've been believing for this long and still haven't seen anything yet. And I had she spoke to me one day and she said to me, "Do you see yourself with the violin back?" And I was like, "Oh, not really." And she said, "You've got to see yourself with the violin back." And she spoke about the speaking things as though they were that aren't right now, but they're going to be. And so one day in my bedroom, I just looked at a photo of me with a violin because I sat it up. I thought, no, I'm going to imagine myself with that violin back. And I said, "Father, I want that violin back next week." And what happened next week? The next week I got a phone call from the police saying, "We've got your violin." I was like, oh my goodness. But it comes with this tenacious, enduring faith that says, I'm going to declare this. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen my loved one return to Jesus yet. And I've been praying for 20 years. There's people in this room, I know that you've been wrestling and praying for people. Don't give up. What does it look like? Imagine, and hopefully you've read those scriptures yourselves, because that's backing up what it is that scriptures do. So I'm just going to read them out for the sake of people that can't read them. This Proverbs 18:21. Power and life are in the tongue. Job 22 verse 28. You'll declare a thing and it will be established. Romans 4, I read before, Romans 4, 17. And Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. But I want to encourage you that as you declare, start to picture what it is. What does it look like for your loved one to be back serving Jesus? Like, do you see that in your mind, or do you just see what's in the natural of, oh, that person's just the same as they've always been? Let the Lord start to use your imagination and let him breathe his inspiration into that. I reckon and I believe that God had a picture of what the world looked like when he formed it, when he spoke those words. So I want to encourage you that, like Abraham, this scripture, Abraham was a man that was called out of his homeland to a new land. I feel like that at the moment. A land that he knew was familiar. And he went following the word of God, and he was told that he would have ancestors as numerous as the stars in the sky. He was as old as he was older than people in this room, anyone in this room right now sitting here, before he actually saw the promise come to pass and have a son. And yet on this occasion when he had Lot, his nephew, and God told them to separate, he told Abraham to let Lot go. And he said to Lot, you know what, you can take any part of the land. And so Lot chose the good bits for himself. And Abraham seemingly was left with whatever was left over. But God said to Abraham, Abram before he became Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. I reckon that would have been an anchor for Abraham over decades when he didn't see his son come yet. I reckon he would have gone back to that place in the mountain where he imagined what it would look like for Sarah to have a baby and then that baby have other children and what it would look like for them to inhabit the land. Why would God ask him to do that? Because he actually wanted him to have a promise and a vision for his life. And too many of us stumble from circumstance to circumstance, living defeated, feeling like a victim, when God has actually already given you a promise and he's told you he's going to paint this on the blank canvas. You've got to trust me. But he wants to partner with your words today. He wants to partner with your belief system, and he wants you to vision it out. He wants you to picture it, and he wants you to prophesy it and be a woman or a man of faith. But it starts with intimacy with God. This is just not some ritual thing we do. Okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to just do this and that. I want to encourage you that every single day, go to the Lord, spend time in the quiet place. For some of you, it's actually you've got to let go of old things. You've got to let go of old dreams. It's to let God inspire you with new ones. Because it says in Psalms 37 verse 4 that as you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. I think there's two facets to that. I think that he'll give us the things we're desiring. But I also believe that as we come into worship and praise, he actually starts to put new visions and dreams in our hearts. I've seen God do that because I've walked with him. You might look up at me and think, how old is she? Not that old. Well, I've walked with God for for a good decade now, and I've seen him do it. I've seen him change my desires, and I've seen him create new things in my heart. But I've seen him produce life because of what I've chosen to prophesy and speak. What are you speaking over your life? What are you speaking over other people? Are you a person that's speaking faith? Are you a person that is a Debbie Downer that people don't want to be with because you are so negative? Seriously. Are you a person that when others are around, they leave encouraged because you've just spoken encouragement over their life? Or do you look like the rest of the world? So as we finish up, I really believe that where God's inviting us this year, the year of the blank canvas, the year of creativity, that number one is forming you. I love that word. Gideon gave an amazing word about the fact that Jesus is committed to seeing us bear fruit, even if we have seen fruitlessness in our life. He's actually committed to seeing that in your life, but you've got to yield yourself to God. So I want to encourage you, and we're going to have time to do that soon in a minute when we take communion, that it's going to be a time where we surrender and give all to Jesus. So he's inviting us to be, to receive his love, to know him, but he's inviting you to give up comparison, to give up, I think I should be more like this. I'm not like this person. He's encouraging you to dream. He wants to dream with you. He wants you to dare to dream. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far and above all that we can ask or think. That's an invitation to ask or think. That's an invitation to dream. If you never ask for anything from God, you won't receive it. Like you have not because you ask not. And you have not because you haven't asked with maybe the right motives to. I'll let that sit. He's inviting you to share with other people. This is not just an invitation where we go home and we just tell God our dreams by ourselves. But I'm so thankful for covenant friendships that I've had, people in this room where I've shared my dreams with. And they're people of faith. Like, I'm careful who I share my dreams with. They're people that believe with me. And I'm thankful for people that have stood beside me that, like, for example, when my violin was missing, that they were still like, I'm still believing for that to come back. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm not. I've kind of given up. We need people in our lives that when we give into discouragement, that they're going to kick us along and say, no, we're going to believe in this together. So our dreams are powerful individually. There's how much more like those wind turbines when we get together. This is why we don't forsake the meeting of the gathering. This is why we encourage each other daily. This is why we're living in community, so that we can actually see something incredible come when we do that together. He's encouraging you to serve. You know, sometimes people are like, well, I don't have a dream from God. I don't know what my dream for my life is. Well, I want to encourage you, go to people that have a dream That's a good dream, not a bad one. And serve them until you get your own. And you serve them as though you're serving your own dream. And this is the power of being in a church where you serve God. And I watch people do this all the time in this room. And I'm so thankful to God for the example of service in this room. But you've got to serve sometimes first and humble yourself before God actually promotes you to live in the dream that you've got. And that takes humility, because sometimes it looks like I'm going to serve by cleaning the toilets, or I'm going to serve by doing the words, and I can't really engage in worship because I've got to concentrate on clicking the buttons. Like, that's serving. Sometimes it's not fun. But we're a family. And if we know each other's dreams and we believe in them, we'll do what we can, because we love people, to see that come to pass. Amen. I want to encourage you, an invitation to create is also to continue. Like I said before, that's not, a lot of people are like, well, I don't have anything brand new in my life this year. Okay, well, maybe not, but invite the Holy Spirit to do something new with what you do every day that you might have been doing for 10 years. And I dare you to believe that God would do something incredible in that place. Invite him into what you're already doing and keep doing it. And for those of you that have been believing for dreams, don't stop believing, like, continue. I was looking at some quotes by famous inventors. There's a quote about the person that created the light bulb, I think it is. Who was that again? Thomas Edison. And he said, I haven't failed 10,000 times. I've just found 10,000 ways that don't work. And he was a man of persistence, and he said something like, you know, it's 95% perspiration and 5% inspiration. And sometimes it's just looks like remaining. It looks like standing when you feel like there's no more grace to stand. There's always grace every single day for you. So I'd like you to stand. And, you know, all of this is only possible because of what Jesus did for you. He actually left his privileged place of heaven. Jesus left heaven so that he could come down. You know, when we were singing before, love comes down, washes over me. Well, that is an emotion sometimes with God. But do you know that love came down from heaven to earth to save your life, to save you from sin, so that you could know eternal life with Jesus? Eternal life looks like believing in Jesus and confessing him as Lord, but it also looks like living an eternal life right now with him. And I want to invite people that if you don't know Jesus, I actually want to invite you to come up the front after this service, and I want you to pray with someone and receive Jesus into your life, and you're going to become a brand new creation. The old will be gone and the new has come. But, you know, life in Jesus, it is eternal life, but you've got to make the choice. You've got to decide, thank you. I've been thinking about the scripture, and if you could pop it up for me, please. John 3:16, we know it so well. We are kind of like, oh, we just sort of quote it. Maybe some of us don't. I'm sorry if I've assumed that you know it. But it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only son. How many sons did he have? One. Hands up if you've got a son. Right now, put your hand up. Keep your hand up if you'd sacrifice him. Probably not. For someone else that didn't deserve it. That's God for you. God was so committed to your resurrection, like to see you come from death to life. And we can just read that and go, oh yeah, that's great. I've heard that since I've been in Sunday school. But do you know it personally? Have you gone into the secret place with God and let that get so deep in your heart? Read it and read like sometimes I'll say, for God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. Like emphasize different words. It's actually powerful. I do that a lot because it actually adds more meaning to the scripture that we probably gloss over it because we've known for so long. Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for you, that whoever believes in him, there's that word again, believing in God, will not perish but have eternal life. Praise God for eternity in heaven, but praise God for living in purpose right now, living in life right now. So Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you humbled yourself to die on a cross. That you became sin, you who knew no sin became sin, that we would become the righteousness of God. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you make old things new. And we thank you for your love. And Father, we thank you, God, as we take these emblems in a moment, we choose again to surrender and give you our lives like we were giving you a blank canvas to say, you know what? You can do what you want, Holy Spirit. You've got such a bigger picture than I can even imagine. But Father, we thank you for the invitation that our lives can look powerful and creative, that they can look like Jesus in the earth. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're speaking to people in Jesus' name. Yeah. So we're going to have some more worship now, and I think we're a little bit over. So if you need to go pick up children, please do so. If you've still got the emblems in your hand and you haven't taken them yet, then that's okay if you have. That's totally fine. Actually, if you feel led to, like this is like an altar and you don't have to do this, but if you want to actually just say, you know what, I'm going to surrender my life on the altar. I'm going to give my life. And you want to just come out the front and just let him, like, take possession of your life again. For those of you, I said before, if it was the first time that you wanted to do that, come up the front. But I want to encourage you, like, this is like a reset. This is the beginning. But let the beginning actually be by receiving that love that God already gave through Jesus. So we're just going to worship. So I'm just going to leave the front open and just come up, take communion in your own time. Go back to your seats. And if you want prayer, just stay at the front. But, just respond to him today in Jesus' name.